time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up at Saturday morning sun, plop down the living room for the big bowl of sugary cereal and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And guys, if I could be serious for just a second, with the environment of Earth on the decline, ecologically conscious cartoons like Captain Planet and the Planeteers are needed now more than ever. But since we've already covered that one, we found another team-centric show about heroes trying to clean up the planet. The only problem is, with the huge mess humans have already made, Chris and I couldn't do it alone. So today, we recruited two hideously deformed creatures of superhuman size and strength to help us out. Sean and another Chris from the podcast Childhood Remastered. Guys, thanks for being part of the cleanup crew with us this morning.
No problem.
It's an honor.
And this morning, we watched Toxic Crusaders. Before we move on, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves and the show?
About our show? Well, Chris and I have been friends for a good amount of time, and we decided to start doing a show about cartoons because we tended to end up talking about it while we were sitting at a bar or sitting at home. All of our conversations tended to evolve into talking about cartoons. And so we thought, why not commit this to digital audio and see if anyone else wants to listen to our theories about what we thought about whatever the heck we were talking about that time.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting that when Sean approached me with the idea, we were at our house, at my house in the backyard in the pool, actually, right? Mm-hmm. And we were actually having a discussion, I think, about gargoyles or was something.
Nice.
And then you're like, hey, we should do a show about this. And we're like, okay, cool. Like, what do you mean, a YouTube channel or something? It's like, no, let's do a podcast. I already have a mic. Let's do it. And I'm like, okay. And so then that kind of started it. And our show's been going for about a year now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, I just got the on this day alert on Facebook when we had our initial like 20 episode
list
that we've done about half of.
Nice.
So that was a year ago, like yesterday or today.
If we did a half, I think we might have done maybe a third.
Yeah. Once we started doing it, it really opened the floodgates of, oh my God, what about this cartoon? That's half of our discussion is, oh my God, remember this one? Oh my God, no, we have to totally do this one. And then we lose track of everything that we'd already planned out.
And then when people send us requests, and then that just throws everything out the window.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's down another corridor.
Yeah.
We definitely know what you mean, because our request list is ridiculous right now. It's so long.
Yeah, and then there's stuff that we just want to do. And we're like, you know what? We keep talking about this one, and we never do it, and we
so
really need to do
you,
it.
Forget you, we're doing it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely nice to have you guys on. I mean, always fun to have fellow cartoon fans here on the show.
Yeah, I actually found your show by accident, and then I was like, oh, cool, it's a show that kind of does stuff like what we do. But, I mean, you guys kind of do things in a totally different way, but I got kind of excited, so I messaged one of you guys, and then we started talking, and then we kind of came up with the idea to do this. And I'm kind of stoked. This is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
No, I was just going to say, especially because we're doing Toxic Crusaders, which is a crazy show. And I had forgotten a lot about it, but after rewatching it, you know, I know this is going to be a good episode because of how crazy it was.
When you guys mentioned this show to us, I immediately heard the theme song and it started playing in my head, Toxic Crusaders.
Oh yeah.
Like on a loop for about
yes,
the next hour. So thank you.
So that's pretty much the theme song, is just that on a loop.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't the Kathy Susie Toxic Crusader song.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Which we'll sing, I'm sure, before this episode's through.
Oh, we have
Please
to.
Don't.
We have to.
I have my accordion with me already, so get ready, guys.
You have an accordion? That's impressive.
No, I don't.
Oh, good.
But if I did,
that's more impressive.
If I did, that's the only song I'd be playing on it, though.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
So the show Toxic Crusaders aired from 91 to 93, created and developed by Lloyd Kaufman and Michael Hertz, produced by Murakami, Wolf Swinson, and Troma Entertainment. ran for one season, 13 episodes on the, I think it just aired syndicated on the Children's Channel in the UK and on YTV in Canada. For a short synopsis of the show, a group of mutants fight against a pollution-loving alien, Dr. Killamoff, in a fictional city of Tromaville led by Toxie, a nerd-turned-superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
I'm pretty sure, like, Tromaville is supposed to be in New Jersey. It seems New Jersey.
It's the only clean city left in New Jersey.
Which is kind of funny, because the whole, like, New York, New Jersey,
right,
you know, shtick. Yeah. Did you guys ever watch the movie that this is based on?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's funny is, I watched this first as a kid, obviously, and then I moved over to the movie thinking it was a direct translation of the cartoon. I'm like, oh, cool. It's going to be like just like the show. And then like my parents were kind of free as far as letting me watch whatever. So I watched this thing thinking it's going to be like the cartoon. And I think that was my intro to nudity, violence, and I think people getting run over by cars. Yes.
Yeah, that kid's head exploding. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, God.
The movie is famous for that head exploding scene.
Yeah.
That's what it's known for.
I was just telling my girlfriend about that today, and she was like, they did what?
Oh, yeah.
And also the really long and awkward copulation scene between Toxie and his blind girlfriend.
Right, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's it's so awkward in that movie.
I think I first saw it on USA Up All Night. They used to play a lot of old Troma films. That's where I saw this movie and like Class of Nukem High and that one about the cop. Yeah, like they would play those every so often because programming would go on at like 10 o'clock on Saturday night. I saw the TV edited versions first.
Oh, nice. Oh, man. Yeah, I found it at a VHS rental place my family used to go to.
Nice.
And it was several years after the show had come out. And I was like, yeah, mom, dad, look at this. I want to rent it. And like, okay. They didn't look that it was rated R. And I was excited that I snuck one past them. And then the head explosion scene happened. And then my parents freaked out. And then that was it. Because they weren't really in the room, but they heard us scream. Like, but not out of terror, but out of excitement. They come in and they rewind it and watched, and then that was it. Oh, I had to wait until I was older, actually, to watch it again.
It's just hilarious to me that some studio, I mean, yeah, it had to have been some studio exec somewhere, was like, yeah, let's take this hyper-violent, hyper-sexual movie that was aimed at, like, young adults and turn it into a kid show. Yay!
Well, I think that was Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah, probably.
And then he marketed it, and then it only got its 13 episodes. Yep. You know, you guys mentioned Michael Herz. He's the one of the co-founders of Troma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently, as like a weird bit of trivia, whenever Herz would appear on screen, it actually wasn't him. It was this character actor that Troma would use named Joe Flyshaker, who was like this 500-plus pound guy that they used in a bunch of their movies. Yeah, but Michael Herz, which is why it's so funny, is apparently a pretty fit guy. Like, he's in good shape.
Nice.
And so that was also part of why it was funny, is because Flyshaker was this massive beast of a guy. And they'd always have him like on screen instead.
His real name was Flyshaker, his real last name?
Yeah, Joe Flyshaker. F-L-E-I-S-H-A-K-E-R.
Wow. Oh,
and man. I guess he's best known as Larda in Toxic Avenger 4 Citizen Toxin.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Perfect.
Which, if you haven't seen, there are no words.
It's time to look that one
was
up.
Was the cop one you were talking about Sergeant Kabuki Man?
Yes. Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD?
Yes.
That is a life changer.
Oh, my God.
So is Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead.
Oh, I've seen that one. God, Troma has so many good movies.
Surf Nazis Must Die.
Tromeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Chopper Tromeo Chicks in Zombie Town.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's like so many.
So many that were ripe for being made in the cartoons.
Yeah.
Apparently. How did they not make more of these?
There should have been all of them.
Right.
Well, they made Axe Cop. Probably could have made Kabuki Man NYPD.
They should have. I'm right. Upset now. I'm going to ride Lloyd Kaufman.
That sounds like it would be a fun cartoon, though.
So, Chris, well, there's so many Chris's now. First, Chris did I know better.
Hi.
Who are some of the actors who played in the show?
All right, we've got quite a few characters, so this is going to take just a minute. But the voice of Toxie, a.k.a. Melvin Junko, and Dr. Killamoff was Roger Bumpus, who was the voice of Squidward from SpongeBob. He was also Lewis from Real Ghostbusters and Chief from Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego, which we just did a couple weeks ago. Yvonne was Kathy Susie, who was also the voice of Janine from Real Ghostbusters and Slimer in the Real Ghostbusters, if you count that as a cartoon.
Barely.
No.
Exactly. She was also Linka from Captain Planet, which is a similar-ish kind of
voice.
Feel to this. Yes. And yeah, the voice is, she uses the same voice for everything. No Zone was Paul Eading, was the voice of Perceptor from Transformers, Colonel Roy Campbell from Metal Gear Solid, and Max in everything Ben 10, any Ben 10 cartoon.
He's also the narrator for Diablo.
Oh, is he really? Nice.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, man. We've been talking about Diablo a lot this week, too. Perfect. The voice of Junkyard was Greg Berger, who is Grimlock from Transformers, and the Grumble from, Real Monsters. Voice of Major Disaster was Ed Gilbert, who was Thrust and Superion in Transformers. He's also Hacker in Centurions and Luton Plunder in Captain Planet.
It's also the voice of Baloo on Tailspin.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be, like, noticeably, there's a lot of Transformer veterans and some Captain Planet people in this one, for sure.
I thought his voice sounded just like Baloo from Tailspin. Like, it was just a copy-paste.
Yeah, it seemed pretty similar, yeah.
Yeah.
The voice of Fender was John Mariano, who was Bobby, one of the pigeons from Animaniacs, if you remember the three pigeons.
Cool, always
slapping each other around.
The good feathers.
The good feathers. Zar Zusta was Patrick Zimmerman, who also voiced Revolver Ocelot in Metal Gear Solid. So lots of Metal Gear Solid people in this one, too. Mayor Max Grody was voiced by Chuck McCann, who was Mummy Man in Drac Pack, something that we watched several weeks ago, unfortunately. And The Thing from the Fantastic Four cartoon. The voice of Mona, who is the mayor's secretary, was Susan Blue, who was RC from Transformers. Flim Flam from the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, the worst character of all time.
Boo.
And Stormer from Gem.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, he's the worst character ever created.
He essentially took over the position of Scrappy Doo in that.
Oh god.
Yeah, but they kept Scrappy, like they basically had two Scrappies.
Apparently she's a famous voice director too. She was the voice director for Beast Wars and the 87 Ninja Turtles.
Yes, she's actually a voice director in tons of stuff, including this actually.
That's crazy.
The voice of Psycho was Michael J. Pollard, who's mostly known for the TV show Tango and Cash. And the voices of Bonehead and Dr. Bender was Hal Rail, who was Snarl from Transformers, and Sport One from Bionic Six, which we just reviewed last week. And then finally, Mrs. Junko was Susan Silo, who also played Wuya from Jialin Showdown, which is another show we watched several months ago, and Dr. Carbuncle in Biker Mice from Mars, which we will be doing eventually because we do have that on the request list. And that's your cast.
Nice.
Too long.
Yeah, I know. I had to get some water.
I like how stereotypically Jewish Mrs. Junko is.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Like offensively so.
Yeah, like in one episode she talks about how long it's been since she made matzo ball soup.
Exactly. I was just thinking that.
That was in the I think one
the bitty one, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Cuz it was when the rock got thrown through the window, she was comparing the rock to a matzo ball.
Exactly.
But we'll get there.
This oh yeah, I have something to mention about that. Right
yeah,
yeah.
That'll be fun.
Did you guys ever have the toys for these?
Oh yeah,
I had so many of these toys, and in fact, the only toys I didn't have were Junkyard and No Zone, which really sucked because those two were my favorite. But they're the only toys from this show that I didn't have. I had all the other ones.
I had No Zone. He was cool.
I feel like a lot of the people, a lot of the adults in my life, got me these toys because they confused them for Ninja Turtle toys.
Yeah. Yes, I think so too.
I was thinking this exact same thing.
They were also using that same slime stuff Ninja Turtles had at some point.
Yes.
But that was in every one of the Toxic Avenger toys.
Exactly.
Yep. It came out of No Zone's nose because I had it.
I know. That was the reason I wanted it.
I had a lot of that stuff for like the Ghostbusters toys, that like slime, the cornstarch, ectoplasm, and that stuff just got everywhere. It was thinking back on it, it's just freaking gross.
Yeah. If you even took it out of the little container, it was going to get hair and everything on it. So you put it back in, it's just a filthy ball of dirt.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's just like a one-time use toy.
Yeah. So you better have fun. And do you remember the tagline for the toys? It was, they're gross, but they still get girls.
Nice.
Just like me.
I know. I feel like this should be my tagline.
Can relate to nerds everywhere.
20 years later.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I still use that.
That's the best.
That sounds like the tagline that would have used for the NES video game or the Genesis video game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I thought it was funny at the beginning of the DVD when you had Lloyd Kaufman talking to the kids and he was talking to like the Toxie doll or the little Toxie.
Yeah, he had the action figure.
Yeah,
he had them all over his desk.
Yes,
he was like, "What was that, Toxie? No, our show got canceled."
Oh, yeah, man. And then when he talks about it getting canceled, and he goes, can you say devil-worshipping media conglomerate kids?
He's just a little bit bitter about it.
Yeah, like, a lot.
It was pretty much like 1 year ago, almost exactly, you got to meet Lloyd, right?
Yeah, at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, you've met him?
Yep. It was just it was a complete fluke because we were walking out of San Diego Comic-Con on, like, I think it was the last day of it. And we passed by the Tromo booth, and I was like, oh, hey, let's see what's there. And then he was standing, like, right in front of it, like, talking to some people. So I'm like, oh, my God, like, I have to talk to this guy. Like, I've been, like, he's been in my life for as long as I can remember in some way, form, or fashion. So I got to meet him, got to hug him, got to talk to him for a little bit. Oh, it was wonderful. He's such a, he's exactly like he seems in those weird, like, intros and stuff that you see him in. He's very eccentric and just constantly talking. A lot of fun.
He did an interview with James Rolfe about, what, 4 years ago? That's pretty, it's about a half an hour long. I didn't get to watch all of it because I had kind of a busy week this week, but it was pretty, I'm not going to quote anything from it because you said you have kids who listen to your show.
But, the guy's a Looney Tune, but he's an entertaining Looney Tune.
Yes. Yeah, he's super entertaining. He seems like his brain has got a lot going on all at once.
Oh, yeah.
Well, years of taking acid will do that to you.
I think so, yeah.
Sometimes it's harder to get the voices to stop when you've done all that.
Right.
Well, I think, I mean, he's a Ivy League grad too, right?
Oh my God.
Oh wow, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it was Harvard or Yale. I can't remember which one, but he's definitely an Ivy League grad.
My fiance is going to Comic-Con later this week, so I'll tell her to take a look or to keep a lookout for the Troma booth. Maybe get a picture or something.
Oh, that'd be amazing! Yeah.
Oh, he graduated from Yale in '68, where he majored in Chinese studies.
Wow!
What? That his Why classmates that year were Oliver Stone, George W. Bush.
Oh,
yeah.
Weird. I wonder if he was in Skull and Bones with GWB.
Could have been. Yeah,
there we go.
Oh, man. Also, real quick, this is a side note, but so Marvel did a bunch of comics on, well, not a bunch. They did like 8 comics on this series too, the Toxic Crusader series. And issue number 8 of the Marvel series was the only mainstream U.S. comic ever published that carried the approved by the Comic Code Authority stamp, while at the same time featuring a man sitting on the toilet defecating.
It's like, what's the point?
Right.
Like,
how did they get away with that?
There's worse stuff in Deadpool.
Yeah, right. At this point, yeah.
Oh, man.
But they had the comics, they had trading cards, they had Halloween costumes, board games, like you said earlier, video games. I never played the video game, though. There was one for Sega Genesis also, and NES, like you said, and I think Game Boy also.
I played it earlier this week, or maybe last week.
Did you download it to your Raspberry Pi?
Oh, it was already on there.
Oh.
Nice. How was it?
Yeah.
Terrible?
It's mediocre at best.
Is it a beat 'em up?
Yeah, it's a side-scroller.
Okay.
So the controls are kind of floaty, and all the enemies all look exactly the same.
So they essentially copied, like, Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time,
yeah,
or something?
Basically, but, like, very poorly.
Can you be anyone but Toxie, or is it only him?
It's basically just him.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sad.
Yeah. Like, it's not great.
It's too bad.
At all, yeah.
Well, we've talked about some of our memories of this show, but Chris, do you have any?
It's mostly just the toys, but I mean, I did watch the cartoon. I just didn't remember the episodes in particular, but I already knew all the characters. And like I said, I had most of the toys. So I just remember loving it and being really jealous of my cousin that had no zone. And I tried to take it once and I got caught.
You got caught. That was your first mistake, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
What about you guys? What memories do you have?
You know, this show for me was something that I was like peripherally aware of, but then more so once people started buying me the toys, because it had such a short run. I mean, 13 episodes. It's like talking to someone who maybe wasn't aware of Firefly when it was on. And by the time you tell them about it, it's over.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like I had a couple of memories of it, but it was more from like the syndication, definitely not the first run. I caught it more when it was, I even forget what channel it was syndicated on, but
I think for us, because we're here in Southern California, I think it was like a local channel.
Yeah.
It might have been like KKL9 or something like that. It played, because I watched it when it first came on, because 91, we were like, I don't know, second grade.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So it was definitely something that I remember. But I think I remember the toys more than I remember the show.
Yep, same here.
Watching it again as an adult, I can see why like 7 or 8 year old me wouldn't have remembered much of it, because I feel like not a lot of it was directed at kids.
Yeah, if any.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
this show was very self-aware in the sense that it didn't really take itself too seriously, and you can tell
absolutely not
immediately.
No, yeah, a lot of fourth wall breaking.
Yeah, constantly. And it's almost like it was picking on the tropes of other cartoons at the time.
Oh yeah. Like in one of the episodes that we all watched where the Toxie says something like, or somebody says something like this isn't something that's going to be resolved, or maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I feel like I know where you're going though, because I think he does say something like, this is something we have to resolve in this episode or something. Like
in the next 20 minutes, we have to resolve this.
Yeah. Something like that.
I think it was in the Biddy episode. Mm-hmm. He says, I have a feeling this has something to do with the main plot of this story.
Yeah. It's so much of that stuff. And like as a kid, if you were, I mean, what do you think the age range for the show that you know, they took to some TV syndicator and was like, oh, this is a show for this age range. Like, what did they tell them? Like, because ostensibly you'd think it'd be like Ninja Turtles. So it, like what, yeah. 7 to 11 years old?
That's my guess. Yeah.
And that's definitely not the age range of people who are going to figure out all these fourth wall breaks and like all the like snarky comments about the industry and whatnot.
Right, I think they probably got the toys made first and then got the animation done for the show for the first 13 episode run, submitted that to them, but they didn't watch it. They just saw, oh, hey, they got toys.
Oh, hey, these look like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I bet you that's what it was.
Yeah, I think if you just read the description of the episode or where it's going, and be like, okay, this sounds kid-friendly and environmentally friendly as well, so it's sending a good message. But then when you go into it, it's just constantly picking on itself and, like you said, breaking the fourth wall. So they were able to get away with it, where I think they could make it entertaining for both adults and kids at the same time because of the, like, a lot of the adult stuff is going to go over the kids' heads. Most of it is, even. Because I don't remember any of that stuff from watching it as a kid.
No, yeah. Zero recollection on our end.
Same.
Yeah, so guys, since we're already doing a little bit, let's go ahead and jump into 3 episodes we watched for today's show. Very first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, random listener chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how the episodes fall chronologically, but of course, we have to start with the very first episode, being The Making of Toxie, Season 1, Episode 1. And in this one, well, I mean, it's basically Toxic Avenger light, very light, G-rated Toxic Avenger.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very much the same, but in much different ways.
I love the setting, though, because it's basically like everything is just disgusting. The city is just completely, except for Tromaville, everything else is just covered in smog and pollution and everything like that, which kind of reminded me of when we did Street Sharks. It was kind of like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Like, everyone had to wear, like, gas masks everywhere they went
filthy,
and stuff.
It was filthy, that city, yeah. I don't... But,
yeah,
okay,
it was so gross.
Here's the thing, though. Like, in Street Sharks, it didn't really make sense. Like, it didn't need to be that way.
Yeah, I know. That was just kind of like an aside. Yeah. And it had nothing to do with the story.
No, but in Toxic Crusaders, strangely enough, it makes sense with the story.
Yeah, it's like a plot point.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, we get to see, like, the city where... Killamoff is and everything. We're introduced to the bad guys first. And I love Psycho because he basically, every episode, he predicts exactly how the episode's going to go.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely hilarious. And like, I think it made like him one of my favorite characters in this just because of how like sarcastic he was. And, you know, he's like, okay, we're going to go to Tromaville. We're going to like pollute this place. And he's like, oh, hopefully some loser teenager doesn't get turned into like a like deformed monster that's capable of stopping you. And he's like, why would that happen? And I'm like, oh my God, yes.
No, it's not
of superhuman size and
exactly.
strength.
Exactly. It's not just deformed monsters, hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength, which they use constantly in every
it's
episode.
It's mentioned 6 times in that episode at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. The thing that I thought was kind of funny was the, it's about 4 minutes in, and there's this dog food commercial.
Yes,
it's called like Woof Dog Food, the dog food that makes your dog woof all over the place.
Yeah, and the dog looks like it's like about to have its like death rattle. Like it looks like it's about to die.
Did you guys? So I mean, we talked a little bit about the movie. This like the opening scene in the health club slash whatever it's supposed to be. That is like a copy paste of the movie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of like, as somebody who likes the movie, I mean, it's terrible, but I like the movie.
Right.
Yeah. It's weird to me that they...
It was kind of cool.
I mean, I understand why they copy-pasted it, but it makes more sense in a movie from 1984 to have like a health club where everyone's doing aerobics inside rather than rather than a TV show from 1991.
True.
Yeah, I think by then it was something that didn't make sense anymore. But
maybe not. Nah. But it could have also just been a nod for the people who had seen the movie and appreciated it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably... I think you're probably right.
And then the like really over the top 80s Valley Girl, like the bully.
Oh, the Kathy Susie voice.
Yeah.
Oh, and well, I think she does like all the girls in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she does almost all of them. Bimbette, that was the girl. Yes.
Bimbette, yeah.
Well, that's when Melvin goes on that list of all the things he's going to do for the night, where he says he's going to practice burping, wax my chicken, wax and then smell my armpits.
Yeah.
Tell you what, wax my chicken has a couple meanings, I think.
That's what it's like. That had to have been a euphemism. I mean, come on.
Oh, I'm sure. It's like Rocco's Modern Life. The name of the chicken restaurant's Chokey Chicken.
Chokey Chicken.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, Rocco's Modern Life.
Yeah, so she convinces him, like, she's like, hey, go on a date with me, blah, 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 but you have to wear this tutu. And he falls for it, and of course he shows up wearing the tutu, and she gets a bunch of people there to, like, laugh at him, make fun of him when he shows up. So he runs outside of the studio and falls into a vat of chemicals that Killamoff had just started importing into the city. And I like that when he falls in, you see Killamoff like thinking, he's like, huh, he's like trying to like, he's thinking about that thing that Psycho said about like a loser like turning into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength.
Thank you.
And I was like, yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I like the transformation sequence that he has after he falls in the muck,
where
he
goes, so weird.
He turns into like three different things, right? He turns into like a math teacher or something, like an old woman, and then he turns into a something
producer.
Else.
Yeah, so a school movie teacher, movie producer. Yeah, and they're supposed to be like super terrifying.
Yeah, so everyone screams.
What's great is like
maybe that's why I didn't get picked up.
Yeah, he's even referring to himself. He's like his third thing is like, oh, now I'm a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength, and it's just it's the constant usage of that. I think like, If they had just used it a few times, it would have been like, okay, that's kind of annoying now. But because they use it so much, it became such like an iconic thing that I'm going to remember that, I think, forever now. And it's going to be funny too.
Yeah.
Did you happen to pick up the chemical that he fell into?
Grossolium?
No.
Is that what it was?
What was it?
Yeah, Grossolium 90.
Grossolium 90. There you go.
I like it.
This is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's why I love like the names for everything in this show. Like, I mean, come on, like Mayor McGrody, like that's just hilarious.
sounds like a reject sandwich from McDonald's.
Right.
McGrody. Yeah, McGrody. Yeah.
McGrody. Try the new McGrody with our special sauce and fried pickles.
It sounds like what a teenager would say as a retort when they don't like a sandwich from McDonald's. Like, McDonald's, more like McGrody.
Yeah. A teen in the 90s, so I guess it made sense.
A teen in the 90s, exactly. Yeah. Exactly how it would go.
You got to add that tood in. The 90s tood.
Yeah, the tood.
You know what? Speaking of 90s tood, I felt like this show was shockingly devoid of that.
Yeah, I did too.
There was no like attitude from the characters. They were all nice like Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I would say like pretty much all of them except for Bonehead was like, I mean, if anyone had the tutu, it was kind of like that. But I think he was more like, he was still closer to the 80s than I think the 90s, to be honest.
Yeah, no, his character was like plucked right out of some, like Revenge of the Nerds type, I'm a bully.
Absolutely. Oh, see, I was thinking of the bar scene from Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, or any of the guys from like Roadhouse.
Oh yeah, Roadhouse or
basically
Warriors.
Yeah, I'm just a guy that likes to beat up other guys.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So Toxie, he eventually like goes and you know to talk to his mom or you know see his mom, and he scares her, and then the plot points are pushed along so easily in this that she's just like, you know, get out here, go and move to the dump. And he's like, okay, I will. And so that's like, okay, and here's now that's how he gets his new lair at the dump.
And then that's it.
Yep.
His ease of acquiescence is used later on in another episode where they're like, you have to leave because you're too ugly. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, I'm going to cry, but but I'm going.
Dang, that loss sucks, but I guess I got to leave.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
That's not too bad. To Siberia. Oh, that's worse.
Yeah.
So then like for no reason, Yvonne is walking through the dump playing her accordion. singing horribly, and Toxie's like, oh, what's that beautiful noise? And I'm like, please, I hope this doesn't keep going. And yeah, it keeps going. Like, she sings every freaking episode and usually multiple times. Oh, yeah. And it's awful.
But it's great because everyone's aware that she's terrible. Even Toxie is.
Yeah.
But she's not.
No.
Yeah, she's completely non-self-aware.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, that they play on it like just like the girl from Avengers, but because I thought she was blind coming into this, and then she's like, oh, no, I just lost my contact. It's like, okay, so they're not playing her as blind in this one. She's right.
Well, I think because in the movie, it's meant for adults, and it's the whole, like, it's my blind girlfriend's the only way to be attracted to me, and they, like, make fun of the fact that she's blind, right. And they're like, well, this is a kid's cartoon, maybe we can't make an entire series like side character based upon making fun of people who are blind. So they decided to just make her without contacts and hard of sight, but with glasses. That was like their little workaround.
Yeah. She's nearsighted.
Yeah, she's just nearsighted. It's fine when she has her glasses and she's okay. See, we're not making fun of blind people. See, okay, censors, leave us alone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, and she's attracted to Toxie for who he is, just not the crazy tie he wears.
Yes.
I like how his personality and everything changes along with his looks when he gets dumped into the...
It's not like, even close.
As Melvin, he's like, no. Like, he's super naive and gullible and does whatever people tell him to do. But then as Toxie, he's like, I've got to do something about this.
He's still gullible and dumb, but...
Right.
But now he's heroic and gullible and dumb.
He kind of becomes like Captain America like personality in that way. So
True.
So she's in the dump playing her accordion. Bonehead and some guys show up to steal the accordion. Like, why they want to steal an accordion, I don't know. Like, I never thought that would be a thing, you know, that people would have to like look out for. Like, if you have an accordion, be careful with it because, you know, young punks definitely want those accordions.
I like that her excuse out of the scene was that she said she's going to go wash her hair.
Oh, after she left?
Yeah, she left. She's like, I'm going to go wash my hair. And then she just leaves. And we're just like, okay.
Yeah, sure. So that's what like prompted Toxie to like, you know, he wanted to defend her. So he beat up the guys. He threw Bonehead in a vat of acid rain, which turned him into a hideously deformed creature.
Of superhuman size and strength.
Yeah, exactly. I guess. I mean, we don't really see if he's got the strength, I don't think, but he's not really much bigger. He just looks gross.
That's about the closest the show gets to actually the like the violence of the movie is he could have killed him. He basically threw him into a vat of acid.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He comes out apparently dumber and more skeleton-like.
Yeah, exactly. So the part of this that I like the most, my favorite part of this whole episode was when Toxie is kind of going into town and now he's like, I can be a hero kind of thing. And he sees them like the Killamoff's henchmen carrying children out of the orphanage, and the one child's just like, bad guys are going to destroy our orphanage to build a toxic chemical plant. And I was just like, I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
It's like the most contrived conflict.
Yes, you could think of. I loved it.
What's even better was he's like, but he ignores that, and he's just like, but my talk at this point, what is it called, like his spider sense thing, like the
toxitons.
And so he's just like, my toxicons or my traumatons are tingling. And then he...
Traumatons, that's what traumatons. It is. Yeah.
And so he's like, but I still can't figure out what it is. Like, that kid just is like a distraction to him. So he's trying to figure it out. He's like, oh, they're burning down the orphanage. Like, he acts like he figured it out himself.
Yeah.
It's like a running thing, too, in all of these, at least the ones that we watched.
Yes. Yeah.
That's like when the Killamoff yells out, apocalypse now.
Oh, yeah.
I caught that. I was like, there's no way that the kids like in 91 had seen that movie.
Well, I think there's a lot of nods for the parents in this because it's like, you know, the parents are going to be the ones that would have seen the movie first. So then they're just like, okay, well, we can hook them on it. And then, you know, that's our real market, even though it's technically marketed towards kids. Like, the parents are going to be the ones that have a good time.
Yeah, it's for the kids, but they want it to be serviceable for adults, too. So it's not torture watching it with their kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that that's when they get two new guys who show up and Toxie warns them that they don't get money for merchandising. as a way to like be like, are you sure you want to be a toxic crusader with me?
Right.
Right.
There's no healthcare either or something like that.
Yeah, it's like something ridiculous. And then he uses his like magic skills as a janitor to throw kitty litter on the giant oil slick that they
find. Oh, yes. So the two new Crusaders that show up was No Zone and Major Disaster. No Zone was a fighter pilot that flew into a silo filled with radioactive pepper.
Yeah, and so that's a thing
that gave him a wheel for a leg and turned him blue. Somehow. And he has a giant nose, and he sneezes. When he sneezes, like, he could like blow like a building over or something. He's just got a powerful sneeze. And then Major Disaster, I'm trying to remember, he fell into a radioactive swamp?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a military soldier. He gained the ability to control plants after falling into a radioactive swamp.
He basically ripped off Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was like, man, does he know Swamp Thing, or like, where was he stationed?
He kind of looks like a ripoff of him, too.
A little bit.
Well, yeah. And that's funny because I had some Swamp Thing toys from the Swamp Thing cartoon. And I think I used to get like my action figure for General Disaster mixed in with my Swamp Thing toys a lot. So,
yeah, they're interchangeable.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So we find out also in this episode, then this I had completely forgotten about, that Dr. Killamoff is actually like a giant roach from
the planet Smogula. Yeah, I forgot completely about that.
And he's wearing... Yeah. What's weird is, like, he already looks like a monster just with the gas mask on, but he takes his gas mask and his monster mask
his
off,
head?
And he's like a roach underneath. It's like, oh, so you're like a monster under a monster. It's like those Russian dolls of just, like, villains.
Yeah, exactly.
The nesting dolls. Yes.
Well, yeah. I thought it was clever the way that they animated that, so it made his hand go up to the mask, like he's going to take the mask off, and then he just, like, pulls his head off.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, which was cool, but yeah, I had completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I didn't remember that at all.
What I liked about this was that they made it to where it was like a feasible idea that he's trying to poison the planet, because they're like, why are you trying to poison a planet? Well, Toxie's like, why are you trying to poison a planet? Like, you'll kill all the humans and animals with it. And he's like, that's fine, because in order for our species to inhabit it, there has to be a certain level of pollution to it. So he actually has motivation that makes sense, because it's in order for his species to inhabit the planet instead.
So really, Dr. Killamoff is terraforming.
Yes, he is. Exactly. Yeah.
But what's funny is he refers to all of his plans as evil plans.
Yeah. Yes.
He's one part cartoony, silly villain, and then he's another part like eco-terrorist.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. But I like it, though, because it's like, you know, most cartoons. I mean, you think about things like Ninja Turtles or like Street Sharks, like we talked about, and like the villains always have these like weird plans, and it's all about taking over and stuff like that. Like this one actually makes a lot more sense if you think about
it.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, it's not like Jason the Wheel Warriors with Sawboss.
Oh, God, Sawboss.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, your Sawboss is phenomenal.
Love it.
Because like we had actually covered that show also, and I found your guys' show like after we had done our recording, and then I heard you say Sawboss, and then like I couldn't get it out of my head. And I went back and I watched another episode, and it just was like I could just hear your voice instead.
Nice.
That's hilarious.
What's so funny about that is like that's something that people on our Twitter or Facebook and stuff still constantly use Sawboss in every kind of reference. Either Sawboss,
we hear more about Sawboss than anything else.
Every cartoon we've done, we hear more about Sawboss. This is the most attention Sawboss has gotten since Jason and Wheeled Warriors
since
existed.
The show came out.
Yes.
And even then, that wasn't a lot.
No,
yeah,
exactly.
Probably not.
Yeah, if I remember right, that actor hadn't really done anything other than Sawboss.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It wasn't even him saying Sawboss. It was the announcer saying Sawboss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
The announcer.
The announcer who did America's Funniest Home Videos. His dad did, his son directed There Will Be Blood, remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. So when we finished, because I show all these episodes to my 3.5-year-old, and like, so she loves like all of these older cartoons. We recorded an episode, it's not out yet, on Silverhawks, which now is in constant replay at our house. I showed her this first episode, and she just turns to me when the credits start, and she goes, I think that's pretty creepy. And then I go, well, what did you think of it? And she goes, I think I don't want to watch that one again. And then she just walked out of the room. That's the first time that's happened for any of the shows that we've done.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we've recorded, I don't know, 50-some episodes, and that's the first one that she's ever walked out of the room for.
She just walked out.
Yeah, and she usually wants more, and she can at least
tolerate and sit through two episodes. But yeah, after one, she's like, I think it's creepy. I'm done.
I think that I think that speaks more to like who the show was actually directed to.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than, you know, someone young, it was probably more directed at like your teenagers and your young 20 or 30 year olds.
Yeah, gross boys who are like 11 to 15.
People who collect Garbage Pail Kids cards.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And played with creepy crawlers and stuff.
Yeah.
I was one of those kids. What was the next episode we covered? I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, this was Mr. Earth-Superhero, Season 1, Episode 7. Yes. This is actually the highest rated episode, according to, I think, IMDb.
Yes. Is it really?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why, because...
Yeah,
this was like my least favorite episode out of the ones we watched.
Yeah, mine too.
Maybe comparatively, easily. I guess it's. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
out of what we watched, this was my least favorite. Also,
maybe the trauma people did it as a joke. They all just got people to vote.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
I do feel like when I was watching this episode, that the intro. When I watched this episode, I kind of had this like self realization that the intro is intentionally trying so hard at trying to be something that kids at the time would obsess over.
Oh, like, you mean the intro to the show?
Yeah, the intro to the show, like the musical intro with like the wailing guitar and everything.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
it was done in 91, and so grunge kicks in pretty soon afterwards, and it was going to be completely irrelevant anyways.
Yeah.
You know? Where was the guy from? Do you remember the character in this, Mr. Earth?
He never said where he was from. He just had said he's been traveling around trying to find a superhero squad to join or something like that. But most cities that he's visited, you have to have a superhero license in order to be a hero.
Plus, he keeps getting run out of town by everyone because, I mean, like, we'll see it. But he basically, like, does way more harm than anything good. Like, he's like, more of, like, an accidental supervillain than he is a hero.
Yeah. He's a natural disaster.
Exactly.
He reminds me, and it just came to me. Do you remember in sort of, I want to say it's like later episodes, Darkwing Duck, when you had that alien who was a gigantic, muscular, like Superman character that came down and he would like wreak havoc on Saint Canard?
Nice.
No, I don't remember that.
You know, there was like a whole race of them on a planet. And there was a whole episode where like they were all super strong and massive, but there was one guy who was weak and they all fought over like saving him. And then he becomes a supervillain. Now, it reminded me, the guy was, the character is essentially like a catastrophe because he's too strong for his own good and he ends up like breaking a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kind of reminds me of The Tick a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Tick, yeah.
His animation reminded me of Power Pete. Do you guys ever remember playing that game on Mac?
No, I never played
back
that.
In the early 90s?
No, Power Pete, no.
It was like a top-down shooter called Power Pete.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyways, it kind of looked like that, and I had like a weird flashback.
Well, how would you describe the way he's dressed? Did he have sweats on?
Yeah, it looked like he was wearing sweatpants and like a boxing like sparring helmet almost.
Yeah, it was like headgear for like karate or something,
but with a visor on it also.
Yeah
it was kind of, it looked like something he had just thrown together.
You know, one thing that I thought was weird is like when he meets Toxie and he meets the others, like, because we've got all the Crusaders together now. They've got, you know, Nozone and Major Disaster showed up in the last episode, but we also had Junkyard was there, and the two-headed guys.
Headbanger, right?
Headbanger, oh, yeah.
And Dr. Bender, yes. So, like, he's there and kind of, he wants to join the group, and they're like, but you're not hideously disfigured. And he also says that he has no superpowers, but the entire time I'm like, he totally has superpowers. This guy's got super strength, because like we see like a scene not too long after that where he's like in the city and he hears Tox's girlfriend singing, thinking that she's in trouble because her singing's so bad, and he's like ripping apart buses with his bare hands and stuff. And I'm like, dude, he totally has superpowers. How are we not seeing this?
Yeah, he's stronger than Toxie. And I think at some point, Toxie easily makes a point to say, like, he goes, well, I'm pretty strong. And Toxie's like, are you superhumanly strong? And he's like, no. Well,
right. he rips the front of a bus open like it's made of paper.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
So he does have freakish superpowers, but apparently maybe he's too dumb to know he has them.
Well, that's my only guess, because I'm just like, this is weird because he obviously does have powers.
Well, and then he like broke open an ATM, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. He lifted it over his head and then broke it on the ground.
Yeah. We also see him like pick up an entire lamppost and walk it around. And
yeah. So this guy's way strong and he can say the alphabet backwards. So what else do you need?
Yeah. I mean, that's something I can't do. So, I mean, I got to give it to him.
There was once upon a time that I memorized it backwards. And it was like a party trick I would do when I would go out drinking with my friends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'd be like, I could say the alphabet backwards. And then I would, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, but I can't
remember.
How
many dates did that get you?
Zero.
Negative one.
Yeah, negative one actually is probably a good answer.
To show you how useless that is, my mom used to own a preschool, and she would teach the kids to say the alphabet forwards and backwards. Like, just, I don't know, as a parlor trick.
Oh, God.
So, congratulations. You can do what a couple of, like, three-year-olds could do.
Awesome.
Oh, man.
You could pass preschool.
So, like, in this episode, Killamoff sees that Mr. Earth is basically kind of sabotaging the Toxic Crusaders. And he's like, this is perfect. So he wants to recruit him, knowing how stupid he is, to just distract the Crusaders while he goes and destroys a mall. Like, why he wants to destroy the mall, I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, it's the 90s. Malls are important.
Let me tell you, the reason is because he wants to cause havoc during holiday shopping so that people feel forced to buy this can opener that he's made, which is actually a can opener, a can opener that is a smog inducer disguised as a can opener that will bring smog to Tromaville. So he has perfect reason.
And not even a good looking can opener. It's like the a bargain store, like 99 cent can opener.
Yeah, it's a dollar store can opener.
Oh, the ones that rust really easily and then you can't even use it.
Doesn't Psycho say something along the lines of like, wow, that's a really needlessly convoluted plan?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I feel like he could have been Dr. Killamoff's Deus Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah.
But Killamoff was too stupid to figure it out.
Yeah, it's like a running gag.
Did you guys notice? So like when, okay, so about like halfway through the show, when they confront Mr. Earth to tell him like, hey, dude, you got to stop. And Toxie's mom shows up, and this was kind of funny. She says that line about like, so I was like, what are you doing here? And she's like, what do you mean, what am I doing here? You're halfway through the second act, and this is my first appearance. Yeah. But she's carrying some pants that she just got from like the laundromat or something.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Earth like grabbed them, and they're like, hey, drop those pants. And you hear him unzip, and everybody groans. But if you listen really closely, Yvonne's like, Jesus. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. Like, I had to go and replay that like four times. I'm like, did she just say what I thought she said?
Yeah. I don't remember that at all. I think I had zoned out.
Maybe, maybe the voice actor actually dropped Trow in the studio too. And Susie was like, oh my God.
Yeah. It was so like, it's hard to hear because everybody else groans and she says it, but you just hear her like, Jesus.
Yeah. You know what would have made that scene better is if you, everybody groans, she says Jesus, and then you hear like a thud.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's probably why she said Jesus, because I'm guessing Mr. Earth
is I'm sure, yeah.
All of a sudden, it's got a TV 14 rating.
Yeah. Right. But like, that's why I was like, wow, they really went for it in this episode.
They got away with a lot, yeah.
I like that when Dr. Killamoff gets Mr. Earth back to his lair to...
Oh, yes.
Because he's like, oh, he's dumb. I'm going to trick him into like doing stuff for me. That he has his tailor shows up to size him up for a jacket, and then he takes the jacket off the tailor and gives it to Mr. Earth, claiming it that it's a jacket for invisibility.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how did you, he was just wearing it and you could see him.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know, it's like, why?
Yeah, he's just not very bright.
No, yeah, he told him it was a cloak of invisibility so that he could have superpowers, so that he could confront the Toxic Crusaders. Why did he tell him to confront them? Like, did he say they were doing something bad?
Yeah, he convinced them that they were evil somehow.
Well, yeah. No, he used the jacket as like a plot point. He said that you could keep the jacket if you go and confront them and get rid of them because they don't have permits to be superheroes.
Oh, right, exactly. You're right. Yeah.
And then, so he uses that as a distraction so he can attack the mall. But like, well, he literally says something about stomping the mall.
Yeah, stomp out the mall.
And so, of course,
stomp out commerce.
I love this. He gets there and like Psycho and Bonehead fly in this like helicopter with a giant foot that they're ready to drop on the mall. And Killamoff's like, he's like, what kind of plan is that?
Yeah. And they're like, you said stomp out the mall.
We might have taken you too literally.
I love that he acknowledges like how stupid it is.
Yeah, that was Killamoff's like Jesus Christ moment.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. He's like, come on. Like,
you morons. Just you could see like the hands on his temples, like
right. Oh. Like, so oh God.
We have also in this series, your basic like putties or robotic foot soldiers, where you have to have these expendable enemies to be destroyed. And in this, we have the Radiation Rangers, which are just dudes dressed up in radiation suits with like radiation guns who go to fight the Toxic Avengers. So these guys come in period when they need filler enemies. They just throw these guys at the Toxic Crusaders to no avail, obviously. Like, they're just going to be destroyed instantly. But it's a distraction so that they can get the foot over the mall. And this is also where we see Mr. Earth show his superhuman strength, because he jumps onto the mall. And then, like, as the boot's coming down, he catches it, gets the other Toxic Crusaders' help to throw it at the escaping Dr. Killamoff in his car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And uses it to basically kick that car up and off the screen.
His other superpower is physics defying. It's being able to throw something at something else and then have the thing like change trajectory when it gets close to it so it can boot it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe he's actually a psychic.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's got telekinesis.
Yes.
This whole time. What's funny also is early in the episode, and we had forgotten to mention this, or I had forgotten, so the mayor had incited a you needed a permit to be a superhero law. And so they were trying to go and get this license, and the mayor obviously wasn't paying any attention to him because he's in cahoots with Dr. Killamoff. They had been in his office for 3 hours, and they asked the secretary, like, you know, when are we going to get to meet him? She's like, well, I can't say because he left an hour ago. So they'd been there forever. And so Toxie's mom comes in and hands them a note. And Toxie's like, all right, like, great. Like, now we can go save the day. And we don't get to find out what the note is until the very end. Right. And then we see it, and it's just an excuse note from his mother excusing them from needing a superhero license today so that they can save the day.
Right.
So it's like a note from mom is what saved the day in this case.
I love it.
And all the other guys are like, well, what is it? Is it some like legal loophole or something?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's a note from my mom.
Yep.
It's perfect.
And for some reason in this episode, Nozone is very specific about the song that Yvonne's always singing, which is We're the Toxic Crusaders. And he wants her to exclude herself because she's technically not a Toxic Crusader. So then it changes to They're the Toxic Crusaders. And at the end, he's singing it like, or she's singing it, We're the Toxic Crusaders. And then he keeps adding in like, except Yvonne.
And Yvonne.
Except Yvonne. Oh, yeah. And Yvonne. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
He includes her because she helped. Yeah.
Right.
Just so, yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Like, I was wondering if maybe at first he thought maybe that would deter her from singing anymore, but it didn't work. So he's like,
she just changed the lyrics. Yep.
Yeah, I was hoping it would.
Didn't work out.
Oh, man. I mean, we didn't really like that episode. Didn't care for it much, or at least most of us didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us did.
No, okay. I didn't care.
All right. So none of us did. None of us liked that one. So you can ignore that episode. But the next one we watched, this was my favorite, I think, Invasion of the Bitty Snatchers.
Mine too.
Which I chose because of the title, Invasion of the Bitty Snatchers, which is obviously a play on of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which, you know, old horror movie, you know the thing. So
yeah.
In this one, it's exactly what it sounds like. But first of all, it's Toxic Crusaders are playing football and Toxie's traumatons are going off, signaling something. And what's happening is in Killamoff's lair, the Tsar, I can't remember his name, Tsar something.
Tsar Zosa,
yeah. The leader of, you know, Killamoff's leader, essentially his boss, is replacing Killamoff because he's failed so many times. This is episode 9, so he's failed up to this point.
And he replaces him with Major Garbage.
General Garbage. Yeah, not garbage, but garbage.
It's like Tarjay.
Exactly.
Like it. Makes it fancy.
You know, when the traumatons are going off, I thought that was really funny because he goes, oh, my traumatons are going off. And Yvonne goes, oh, I just thought it was my perfume. And he goes, no, it's even worse.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. That's good.
They're constantly picking on each other just in those off ways as like side notes. And that's what makes it really good.
But nobody seems upset about it.
No.
In one of the episodes, it might have been the last one, like, or maybe it was the first one. He said something about her being so beautiful and intelligent. And then something happens and he goes, well, at least beautiful. And I was like, oh,
that's right. That's when she had a problem with his tie or something.
Yeah, that was it. That was the scene. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful and like good taste in clothing or fashionable or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
I was like, ouch. Yeah.
So General Garbage's grandmaster scheme. And what's cool is like throughout the episode, they keep like bringing up the title Invasion of the Bitty Snatchers. And it's like,
yeah, they say it so many times.
And kind of green goo oozing on the screen.
Yeah, I like that.
Kind of like the, you know, a callback to those old movies. And then what it is, though, it's these other bugs from Smogula who are replicant, or they replicate whoever they bite. So his idea is to have these bugs bite and replicate all of the grandmas in Tromaville so that they can nag everyone out of out of Tromaville.
I love that. I love that that's the plan. That's so funny.
His grandmaster plan, which is strangely successful for a while.
Yeah, I love like when he does, like he gets them all together and he's like, now get out there and nag, criticize, and complain.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is the whole thing where Killmoff just needs to make sure that all the old ladies have broken windows.
Yes.
And that's when Toxie's mom had made soup and the rock gets thrown through it. And he goes, why would someone throw, or she goes, why would someone throw a rock in your window? Or in our window, and Toxie goes, I don't know, but I have a feeling it has something to do with the main plot of the story.
Yeah.
That's when this happens.
Yeah. That was that line we were talking about earlier. Yeah. That's good. So when he leaves, then she's kind of like, that's when she starts talking about the matzah, like we were talking about earlier. Like,
yeah.
She's like the stereotypical Jew.
It's like, hey, everybody, if you didn't know I was Jewish, you do now.
Exactly.
But even the title of this operation, Garbage's operation, is a Yiddish thing. It's a, what is it? Operation Kvetch or something?
Operation Kvetch.
Yes.
Kvetch is, it translates to habitually complain.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah, Yiddish for nagging.
Nagging, right.
I love
it. Yeah.
That was the best.
I thought that was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. So maybe Smogulans are Jewish too.
Could be.
Jewish alien cockroaches.
There you go.
There's some weird stuff in this show. Like just like the, like the bugs, all the ones that come to Earth are tiny and small, except for a couple of them that are big.
Yeah.
And then when the small ones like take over the human, like when they body snatch all the old ladies, they all body snatch and look just like them, but they have two extra arms. And nobody seems to notice that every woman over the age of 60 in the town now has an extra set of arms.
A couple of men, too. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe. Who knows?
Well, it's funny, too. It's like, Toxie does notice at one point with his mom, but like doesn't really question it that much. And he's just kind of like, Mom, why do you have two extra arms? And she's like, what are you talking about? You grew two extra feet when you were a kid. And he's like, oh, and just kind of leaves it alone.
Yeah, that was, it just washes right over.
Right.
This is when they tell him that he's too ugly and he can't stay in the city anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's being deported to Siberia.
And Yvonne doesn't want to come with him because nothing rhymes with Siberia.
Right.
But she wants to move to Miami.
Yeah. Because she's still working on her music career. That's what it is.
Exactly. There's more things that rhyme with Miami than Siberia.
Sammy,
yes. Salami is one of them. She goes, with a stretch, salami.
Yeah, she's, send me a letter if you move to a city that rhymes or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. This is like just a throwback to all of the fourth wall breaking and like they're all just, they're so aware that they're in a cartoon. Because whenever like Toxie finds out he's got to go to Siberia, he's like, oh, I think I'm going to cry. Good thing there's a commercial coming up. I need to blow my nose.
Like, well, and then right after the commercial, Dr. Killamoff, he basically decides that he's going to help Toxie, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And so there's another fourth wall break because he says, we were supposed to clear the city, not some one-shot guest villain.
Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I was like, holy moly, that's smart.
And Bonehead says something, too. He's like, shouldn't you be happy? Because we've been trying to clear out Tremorville the entire series.
Yeah, that's right. It's just, it's so constant. Like you stop noticing it because it just becomes part of the world is.
Yeah, it's kind of smart though.
Yeah. Very.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly like that. I think that's my favorite part about this cartoon, aside from like the characters, but I love how self-aware it is because it's just got so many, like there's so many good jokes in there.
Oh yeah. Like how the old ladies attack the bugs with blue cans of hairspray.
Yes.
It says Aquanet.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, but they couldn't say Aquanet.
Yeah. So they, and that's how they defeat them too, is like the old ladies start spraying their doubles with that stuff and it shrinks the bugs and the bugs got to run away. And so basically the old ladies save the day.
Which Psycho predicted, too.
Yeah, what if the biddies overpower their duplicates and somehow turn the tide of the battle or something?
Yeah, it's like you were saying about Psycho before. It's not that he's making these predictions. It's just they're so specific to exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He could essentially summarize the episode for you every time he talks.
Well, that's what he does, right?
Yeah.
He summarizes the conflict and how it's going to be resolved.
At some point early in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Killmoff just never trusts him. And even when he's talking to Garbage, when Psycho is, Killmoff's like, don't listen to him. I never do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where like Psycho is like, and look where that's gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's always just like, I told you so. And then he gets like beat up or thrown in a trash can or something.
He always gets, he always says, told you so. That one time, it might have been the first episode, he, like towards the end, he actually throws Psycho out of the helicopter or whatever. While it's in flight.
Into the garbage dumpster, yeah.
I always love how, I loved how nonchalantly the actor delivered all the lines. He's like, that makes sense unless this happens. And then they're like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, it's just because he's so like he is aware how stupid Killamoff is. Because he even says something about it. He's like, I got to get a new job. And he's just always talking about how terrible like Killamoff is at being a bad guy and everything. Right. It's just, he's so like just jaded and sarcastic about everything.
It reminds me of, have you seen that? It's a series. I think College Humor put it out. It's like Kevin the Assistant, where it's the assistant to like all these cartoon villains or like video game villains. And all he does is go, no, what are you, stupid? Don't do that. What's wrong with you? And then he like makes a small change to their plan, and like Bowser defeats Mario and Robotnik defeats Sonic, and it's like super easy.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
The episode ends with a song about moms.
Because it's Mother's Day, and none of them have mothers, so they're all making Toxie's mom.
That was punishingly bad for me. That was that was really bad. I mean, it is a skill to be able to sing in the voice of the character that you're voice acting. Like, that is a...
Yeah.
I mean, Sean and I had talked about that before on one of our episodes.
Maybe about My Little Pony, probably.
Might have been. Yeah, I think it was My Little Pony. We had covered My Little Pony back like when we first started. And it is a skill set, but it doesn't help if the character's voice that you're singing in is already annoying and bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she does a good job because that's what she's supposed to do. Like, I'm not criticizing her voice acting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm maybe criticizing...
She's too good at it. She made a super obnoxious character that's really obnoxious.
I think that's what it is. Like, her job was to make an obnoxious character, and she succeeded.
Oh, that's why, like, at the end, like, when they're singing it... So, we never talked about Blobby. He's, like, this little, like, pink fuzzball grossness that hangs out with Toxie. Kind of like that booger from Earthworm Jim. He's just this little guy. But, like, him... He starts crying, and Junkyard is just like, he's like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I have sensitive ears too. And he starts howling. I thought that was hilarious. Like, they're just like, this is so bad.
Oh, and speaking of like the little Blobby companion, Toxie's mop is also alive in this one.
Yeah, it can't talk or anything, but it's sentient.
Exactly. It came to life because of the toxic waste also. And in the same way that, you know, Melvin did.
It gives him like essentially uses like emojis, you know, gives him a thumbs up or points at stuff, and
yeah
exactly,
then goes off and fights things itself.
Oh yeah, because it tried to fight that the oil slick monster in the first episode by itself, so it can move of its own accord and stuff, which is interesting.
It just stays by Toxie's side in this one though. Do you remember the part, and this is one of those weird kind of like pushing the censors thing, where it was in Mayor Grody's office where he calls the secretary to sit down on his knee.
Oh, yeah. They start like making out and stuff.
Oh, my God. And then they don't start making out. Like, she kisses his cheek and then it pulls away. And then Toxie's like, meanwhile, while the mayor and his secretary were playing kissy face, or while he was playing kissy face with Mona, like trying to make it a cute thing, but it's obvious what's happening right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you've seen the movie, you know what was going on.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't this, I don't know if it happened in other episodes, but Toxie like narrates this episode, right?
Yeah, I don't think that really happened in the other episodes, but he did it a couple times in this, but it wasn't like consistent.
I feel like he jumps in sometimes. Yeah, it's not like an all the time thing, but every once in a while he'll come in as filler to explain a plot point.
which I thought was kind of weird, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it works, really, I guess.
It didn't fit too well since it wasn't happening in some of the other ones, like you said, but
yeah,
it didn't distract too much or anything.
Then what is it? They fight off all the bugs, and the bugs all get back in the ship, and then Nozone blows them away. And
that's, yeah.
Then it ends with the song, right?
That's how
it ends.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly the Mother's Day song.
Makes me wonder what happened to all of their moms, because they all, like, everyone in the Toxic Crusaders were birthed from someone. Even like the junkyard was a homeless guy and a dog together, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They're all like, nope, we don't have any moms.
Maybe their moms just own them.
They're not important enough to get a backstory.
No, yeah, exactly. Of course not. It would be too much work. Well, Chris, Sean, and Chris number two, looks like it's about time we head out to find some fresh barrels of Grossolium that we can jump into in order to gain superhuman size and strength with absolutely no foreseeable side effects that may negatively affect our appearances. Or, I guess we can just ask our inner kids what they thought of Toxic Crusaders.
This cartoon was kind of like Captain Planet, except gross, which means it was awesome. I love all the characters, especially Nozone and Junkyard, and for once, I was on the side of the good guys instead of the baddies, so they must have done something right. I gave this cartoon 4 bowls of hideously deformed cereal with marshmallows of superhuman size and strength out of 5.
I think what I most appreciated about this show was its ridiculous amount of self-awareness. Very rarely did anything happen to Toxie and his friends that wasn't followed or preceded by commentary on how silly the idea was. Imagine a show with stereotypical heroes and villains and commonly used cartoon tropes that knows it has stereotypical heroes and villains and commonly used cartoon tropes and makes fun of itself for it. Then you get a pretty good idea of what you're getting yourself into here. Overall, I give Toxic Crusaders 4.5 big bowls of Nozone O's cereal out of 5, and I think this one would be fun for both the young and the old. Speaking of the old, my grandma got awful mad at me the other day for not eating all my veggies. Almost too mad for someone who claims to not be a Smogonian infiltrator. I better choose some hairspray in her face just in case. Yep. Nothing could possibly go wrong with this plan.
So this show seems to me like if you made Deadpool an ecological hero, and instead of using his swords and guns to kill people, he used a mop and snot. It's kind of weird to have a group of superheroes that are traditionally ugly, deformed, like they're deformed and gross and hideous, but to have the town all love them and be fine with them, and the only people that have a problem with them are like the gross bug aliens that want to pollute and destroy the planet. So it's just, I mean, it's pure trauma. It's such a weird show, and I wish it would have gotten a lot farther than it did, but I can totally understand why it failed and it fell right on its face.
Yeah, I think I understand why it failed and fell on its face also. The idea of having a cartoon show that's fully self-aware in the presence of the cartoons of its time, you wouldn't really see that. And now all of a sudden we have shows doing it all the time. It was in many ways a show that is far ahead of its time. I think that quite often you end up with people doing things that are just there to make money. And if anything, Lloyd Kaufman and the way that the show was produced was in complete opposite of that. He just decided to do a cartoon show that he wanted to do that he thought would be funny for him and his friends, and that if kids could watch it and it would be appropriate, cool. But it wasn't, I don't think, meant for them. But in many ways, it's still totally appropriate for kids.
What you just said made me think that I can totally be friends with Lloyd Kaufman.
I would hope I could.
Well, considering I had my 3.5-year-old watch this also, I have to take her score in account to mine. And I really enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun watching it, but she did not. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 because she's bringing it down. But if it was just me, I'd say probably a 4.5. And so I'm going to average us together and give it a 3.5.
All right. I'm going to give it a 4 of Chris's daughters out of 5.
Nice.
So does anyone have any final thoughts? Like, for me, I didn't think this was going to be as enjoyable as it was, but I went in expecting to poke fun at this show a lot, but there's not a whole lot I can make fun of because it makes fun of itself constantly. But that's what makes this cartoon fun for me, and I really enjoyed it, and so it did not tarnish my memories of it from childhood. So, and now I just wish I would have hung on to the action figures.
Seriously. Yeah.
I also fully expected this to not be any good either, and I think it was earlier in the week I had mentioned that when you guys told us which episodes we were going to watch, and I said, oh, those 3 episodes basically cover 25% of the entire show. I don't know if that makes me feel sad for the creators we're thankful there's only so many to have to sit through.
Exactly.
Time will tell. And honestly, this ended up being a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
I found myself, I often find myself when I watch these shows, I don't laugh at a lot of them. I mean, because they're kids' shows, a lot of the stuff, and the jokes are usually not that good. But this show, I was legitimately laughing out loud at a lot of the stuff just because it was so ridiculous and so self-referential. It's like someone saying, you know, it's like someone, a cartoon character saying, like, look, we know this is garbage, but who cares? You know, like this is a silly show. Why
are
you
gonna make it the best garbage we can?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I wish they made more.
Yeah, I definitely understand why it didn't happen. But, you know, maybe in today's world, a show like this would have done much better.
Oh, this is totally a show that you would find on, like, Adult Swim.
Oh, easily.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. There's no reason this shouldn't get remade.
They have right now on Adult Swim, they have that Mike Tyson mystery show. Like, yes. It's in the same vein. It's like, well, this is a completely self-referential genre piece that we're just making fun of all of the, like, the Scooby-Doo knockoffs from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, they could totally do it as a Ninja Turtles ripoff, but be self-aware, just like they did at the time. They really wouldn't have to change that much other than, like, maybe even make it a little more adult.
Update the references a little bit.
Yeah, maybe update the references.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it could totally do it.
I'd love to even see it as, like a comic book series from, like, Image or something, because I feel like they would do, like, really good with that, because they're great at using some of those, like, old properties and stuff. And plus, then we could get, like, a Toxic Crusaders Ninja Turtles crossover, which would be hilariously awesome.
I think Kaufman said that they were trying to do that.
They did almost. Oh, because, like, their friends, or Kaufman is friends with the creators of Ninja Turtles too, or was at the time.
Yeah.
So there were talks of doing a crossover in the cartoon, but it just never happened.
Oh, man.
And the producer was the same, right? Mark Wolf?
Yeah.
The production company.
Yes. The production company, yes. Yeah.
Yep. You're right.
Yeah, they did James Bond Jr. and The New Adventures of Speed Racer, the 1970s Pulp the Magic Dragon, the California Raisins, and Barnyard Commandos.
Oh, I remember. I had those toys.
Yeah, I did too. I saw that. I was like, I have to talk about, I just have to mention Barnyard Commandos. I need to get it out of my soul.
I almost forgot about them.
That thing does not need to take up any more residency in your headspace.
No,
I have enough junk in there as it is.
Yeah, pollute the world with it. This is one of those shows that really, like, a rare occasion where it held up a lot better than I thought it would, but for different reasons, I think. I appreciated it as a kid for much different reason than I do now. And like you were all saying, it's a lot of it's because of this, how self-referential it was, and it's not taking itself too seriously. Great show overall. I'm glad we touched back into it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
So guys, before we close out, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and your show?
You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your
Stitcher.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcast, you just search for Childhood Remastered. You can check out our website, childhoodremastered.com. It has all the links and info for all of our social media and whatnot.
Yeah, we have show notes up for every episode that we do. We put those all up too for people who want to go through those as they listen. And relevant links for things that we cover throughout the episodes. We have an Instagram, Childhood Remastered, and a Twitter. And you can also email us, Facebook message. Yeah, you can get a hold of us almost anywhere. We also have a phone line that you can call and leave messages that we're willing to play. But I think people are hesitant to do that.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to do it.
Nice.
We won't make fun of you too much. Kidding.
That's a lie.
But no, I think definitely thank you guys for jumping on with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. We've already got an idea of one to have you guys over on us. On our show.
Sweet. That'll be awesome. Yeah. And I can already see, like, I can understand now where Kill 'Em Off was coming from, because you guys were technically one-shot guest villains on our show, but you've already, I can see that you guys have done a great job and are, we're at risk now of being taken over. So I get it.
We've already sent the infiltration bugs to your address.
You set the evil plans in motion.
Yeah.
So I fully expect to see a giant boot over my house very soon.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Castlevania, now streaming on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Once again, I'm Joseph.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.